Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for having us here in Leicester. It's a time to warm up to so many things to come. The new temple is enormous. There's no other word for gigantic. Anyway, words like that. It's quite something. So yes, suddenly Leicester is on the map in a big way. And today I was asked to speak about Rath Yatra. It's a bit early. I guess we're well in time, but in one sense, Rath Yatra is an eternal activity which repeats itself again and again. And in that way, Rath Yatra is not really a time-bound festival. It is a festival where the Supreme Lord himself is experiencing great separation from Vrindavan, and he is only thinking about going back to Vrindavan, but he cannot go. The reason is that when Krishna left Vrindavan, it was kind of unexpected. Actually, what happened is Akrura came with an invitation. He came with an invitation and a garland and so many things. And then Akrura very nicely invited Krishna to come to Mathura for a wrestling match, which was organized by Kamsa. Kamsa had organized kind of huge monster wrestlers and set it all up for a nice match, right? But Krishna and Balaram, who appear to be the underdogs in the whole situation, just before entering the wrestling arena, showed that they had some shakti, some power after all. Namely, there was this elephant out there, and Krishna, played with the elephant at first. The elephant came storming at Krishna, and Krishna ran between its legs, right under him to the other side, grabbed its tail, pulled him by the tail a bit, and pulled him back a bit, and then stood again in front of him. So then the elephant got very serious, and really went for him, and just attacked Krishna with his with its tusks, with full force. And Krishna just took these tusks and yanked them out of the body of that elephant and, subsequently killed the elephant. And Krishna and Balaram came walking into the wrestling arena carrying these tusks. So although the wrestlers were somewhat bigger in size, still they looked kind of like they had some power. And indeed, we find in the Harivamsa an interesting description of the wrestling match. It is described that Chanura and Mustika were fighting with Krishna and Balaram. And I always forget who was fighting with who, if anybody remembers. I'm not sure anymore who it was. But anyway, one of the two was fighting with Krishna. And at one point, Krishna hit him on the head, and both his eyes just popped out and were dangling like that, like little, like what, like Christmas carols or something. whatever it was, that sort of finished off the wrestler very effectively. Anyway, so, and then Kamsa, of course, was next, and Kamsa was ready. Kamsa had the royal guard around him. Kamsa had his sword drawn. He was totally alert for this moment. Well protected from all sides. But Krishna simply jumped over the royal guard, knocked that sword out, dragged Kamsa down onto the ground, and started pummeling him with his fists to a point where Kamsa finally croaked it. And subsequently, just in case anyone had some doubt about it, Krishna dragged his body through the streets as well by the heels for a while, which is a bit rough considering that Kamsa was his uncle. But anyhow, this was going on. And well, once Kamsa was killed, so Jiva Goswami describes in his Gopal Champu, at that point Krishna was ready to go back to Vrindavan. So Krishna basically said to the Yadus, he said like, well, okay, Kamsa's killed now, done my job, and I'm off. I'm going home back to Vrindavan. But then they said, ho, 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 wait a minute. Where are you going? He said, oh, I gotta go and see my father and mother. And they said, ho, 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 wait a minute. Wasn't there a celestial voice? And wasn't it so that that celestial voice announced that the eighth son of Devaki would kill Kamsa? And who killed Kamsa? You did it. So, who are your father and mother? Vasudeva and Devaki. So, and now that, you know, you've killed Jarasandha and so many others, now we have so many enemies. Oh, not Kamsa, you've killed. Now we have so many enemies, and now we need your protection. So Krishna couldn't go. So in this way, Krishna always wanted to return, actually, to Vrindavan. But he could not. He just could not, because there was always another demon to kill, there was always another enemy of the Yadus, and he just needed to protect them. But then, of course, there was that eclipse, and then it was Vasudev. Vasudev said, let's go to Kurukshetra during the eclipse, although they lived in Dwarka at the time. He said, let's go to Kurukshetra, because in Kurukshetra, it's a holy place, so we can perform a sacrifice there and counteract the inauspiciousness of the Surya Grahan. These Grahans, eclipses are not auspicious since the influence of Rahu is there. All right, so they thought it was a good idea. Everyone went to Kurukshetra, and it was a huge arrangement. Everyone was invited, even all the demigods, etc. It's a huge thing, and there was a big arena, and there were nice tribunes for sitting, and you know, just like nowadays we have for a sports match. In those days they had, you know, these kind of big yakyas, and everyone would sit around the yakya and watch the whole thing. So they had a big arrangement like that, and this, everyone was invited except Nanda Maharaj. But anyway, Narada Muni went there to inform him and said, you know, there's this huge yakya going on, and everyone, Krishna and Balaram will be there, and Vasudeva and Devaki, everywhere, and the whole universe is going to be, everyone is going to be there, everyone's invited except you. So it was, well, we're going. We're going right now. So in the Gopal Champu, it describes that when Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj, he went into a state that his father Vasudev had never seen him in. You know what I mean? He never behaved like that with anyone. He was just beyond himself. And when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna, he saw only Krishna. He didn't see anyone else. And they were just looking at each other and overwhelmed. So Vasudev was a bit shocked by the whole thing. Anyway, he said out loud, he said, well, it's not surprising that Krishna is so attached to Nanda. After all, he stayed there in his house for a long time. So even although Nanda is not his real father, we can understand the attachment. In this way, he tried to rationalize it, but meanwhile, he was shocked. He's more attached to him than to me. And so it went on. And so Krishna already showed great eagerness to go to Vrindavan. Absolutely. There was no doubt about it. He wanted to go. The gopis, they also came, and they were very determined. Krishna is going, whether he wants or not. There's no discussion about it. He is going to Vrindavan, finished. We've had enough excuses and excuses. Just one more demon to kill, just one more demon. There's always a demon. We're not going to wait for all these demons any longer. We will just take the reins, literally, in our own hands. And so they did. And they started to pull the chariot back to Vrindavan. And of course, here we have our Rath Yatra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in performing Rath Yatra, was exactly in that mood. And he entered into the mood of Srimati Radharani, into the mood of the gopis, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was jubilant. Finally, now we have Krishna and we're bringing him back. It was a glorious event, an event, a victory event, an event of now we have Krishna and now, after this long separation, now we are bringing him home. That was basically the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he called out Jagannath, he could not even, due to the ecstasy, properly pronounce. And all he was saying was, Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. And he was dancing and crashing to the ground and jumping way above the people, spinning around with the greatest speed, and tears were shooting from his eyes, like, it is said, like water from a syringe, shooting in all directions in such quantities that everyone was wondering, where is all this water coming from? So Rath Yatra in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described as quite an internal experience. It is mentioned there to be a deep experience of the devotees bringing Krishna back to where he belongs in Vrindavan. The gopis in Vrindavan, in the absence of Krishna, were almost dying of separation, and they were only living by the rope of hope. Otherwise, they would have given up their body. But what if Krishna would have come back? Imagine. And they would have given up their body. So they couldn't give up their body. Otherwise, they would have given up their body. But they couldn't. So, in this way, they were barely alive, waiting for Krishna to return. The gopis knew well that Krishna could not be happy outside of Vrindavan. They understood it is not complete. There is no question that he can be fulfilled outside of Vrindavan, because only Vrindavan is the place which is fully designed for service of Krishna. Mm. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking about his mind. He said, for most people, the mind and the heart are the same. He said, but in my case, my mind is Vrindavan. And now speaking in the mood of Radharani again, saying that to Krishna, and since you like Vrindavan very much, why don't you place your lotus feet there? That would be very satisfying. So, Vrindavan is a unique place. It is the place which is completely meant for satisfying Krishna. Every aspect in Vrindavan is just for that purpose. There's nothing else that exists in Vrindavan. Whatever is going on there is designed for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we see in that place something that doesn't appear to be there for the pleasure of Krishna, then know that it's not Vrindavan. Just like Prabhupada once said, Krishna doesn't loiter in Loi Bazaar. So there is a covering in Vrindavan of Yoga Maya, and if we see something that does not appear to be for the pleasure of Krishna, then we should know it is simply that Yoga Maya, that illusory energy that covers Vrindavan, makes it look like an Indian small town, noisy and so on. So anyway, we are understanding from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and from the narration about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a point that is elaborated by Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas, where Jiva Goswami is explaining that Vrindavan is not a place. He said Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So this is very interesting, because we are here and we have to enter into that state of consciousness of Vrindavan, where every aspect of our being is dedicated to satisfying Krishna. Every aspect, not a trace of anya abhilas, of other desire, can remain. Simply that desire to please Krishna. That is actually the quality of the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is our aim. Lord Jagannath is described as the most merciful deity form. One might be surprising because we are having Gornitai here, and one might be thinking, well, aren't Gornitai the most merciful personalities? I said, yes, but somehow or other, Jagannath particularly appears for the people of this age, and he particularly is the form of the deity that is most merciful. And we see that because Jagannath accepts so much service. For example, Chappan Bhog, 56 times a day Lord Jagannath is eating. I mean, which deity is doing that? That means like other deities eat only 7 times a day. So Jagannath is very seriously eating, and 56 times a day. So many arrangements are being made. Therefore, where there is Jagannath, there are oceans of prasadam. That is the Jagannath temple in Puri. There are just people with baskets going into the temple, people with baskets coming out of the temple. There's a whole arrangement in the kitchens in that Jagannath temple. Our Yamuna Devi, who recently left this world. Gosh, thank you so much. Very kind of you. Keep the little darling sweet. So our Yamuna Devi, she worked for many years. She was studying, she said, different kitchens. And she never was able to go into the kitchens of the Jagannath temple. But she knew exactly what they looked like because she interviewed many people and had drawings of it and could explain how these kitchens were by far the most elaborate kitchens in the world, producing the most preparations of any kitchen. So, you know, I mean, we know all kinds of kitchens. That's a serious kitchen. So Lord Jagannath is like that, engaging so many people. Every year, a new chariot is being built. And there are so many chariots. There are, of course, 3 chariots, but these chariots are much bigger than the 3 chariots that we have in Leicester. For example, it says that the chariot of Lord Jagannath itself has 16 wheels. It's like 16 wheels just on the outside and also under the cart. Right? So it's like the cart is so big that they have wheels under it and they have wheels on the side. So the whole thing is just like a huge deck sitting on wheels, enormous carts. And every year built fresh. And for the rest of the year, what they do with the Rath cart is they just stoke it up in the kitchen. They take all the wood and they just cook on it. So for 1 year, and then each Rath Yatra they build a new cart, and no screws or nails, nothing. Everything is just fit together. That's that the wood is just hooking together somehow or other. So it's quite intricate, and all going according to thousands and thousands of years tradition. Father upon son and so on learn the art of chariot building. Like that. So quite something. Quite an amazing event. Very, very transcendental. One of the most transcendental things is that that Lord Jagannath, once he's on his chariot and he stops, at that time, Lord Jagannath gives darshan to all kinds of people who normally would not be allowed in the temple. So they, especially for us from European background, this is important information. Right? Because at that time, but even those who are allowed in the temple must still take note of this, because at that time one is allowed up on the chariot, and when you go up on the chariot, the pandas are in a merciful mood and they push you right, and they say, embrace Jagannath, and they push you to embrace Jagannath, and before you know it, you're holding on to the base of Jagannath. So this is a good experience we can recommend. Very interesting is that when they asked Srila Prabhupada if he ever went to the Puri Rath Yatra, he said, no, he never went. He said, I used to have my own. Ever since his childhood, right? It started, he had his own. He always. And on the day that there is the Rath Yatra in Puri, there is Rath Yatra in Calcutta, right? Prabhupada's movement organizes huge Rath Yatra in Calcutta also, with so many people. And of course, Rath Yatra is everywhere, all around the world. So Rath Yatra is, besides the internal experience, is very powerful, because it is said that anyone who sees Lord Jagannath is going back to Godhead in this lifetime. That was wrong. Not in this life. They said it's going back to Godhead. Yes. May not be in this lifetime, but it's the beginning of going back to Godhead. A lot of mercy. So much prasadam is thrown from the cart. I remember in the Calcutta Rath Yatra 1 year, I was throwing bananas. And we had a truck behind the chariot. Filled with bananas, so throwing bananas and bananas and bananas and bananas. And at one point, I had my last banana. And it stood on the chariot looking at, like, who's going to get my last banana, you know, down there. Just then, I saw a man who was selling eggs. He had, like, a little table with a whole stack of eggs. And I saw him and I thought, he's going to get my last banana. And, you know, I mean, like a cricket bowler, you know. I got him right on the wicket, right in the middle of his stack with eggs. Yay! And he got the mercy. So there's a lot of mercy going out in the service of Lord Jagannath. This is very nice. Not everyone may appreciate that mercy equally so, but that doesn't matter. They get it anyway. That is the most wonderful thing, that there is so many ways to get the mercy. Yes, there are many other festivals related to Lord Jagannath. Actually, there are 60 festivals listed that are being observed annually in the glorification of Lord Jagannath. So that's more than one a week, just to think about it. Every week a major festival. And of course, Snan Yatra is another big one. When Lord Chaitanya performed Snan Yatra, it was very interesting because Lord Chaitanya, the deity came out of the temple, went to Narendra Sarovar, a pond which is just next to the Jagannath temple, and was there on a platform and ready for bathing. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath. And while they were bathing Lord Jagannath and pouring water, and the drops of that water were bouncing off the body of Lord Jagannath, it said there was more water coming from the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from just the tears of ecstasy, than from the body of Jagannath. So everyone was, whoa, kind of amazed. So in this way, we are seeing that great and powerful festivals are also very powerful tools to reach very, very many people. And that, of course, is something we can, we can try to take advantage of. We see in India how Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who is a very powerful preacher, right, because he has in Delhi, he's got the biggest book distribution going. In the world, actually, right? I mean, they did something like 225,000 Bhagavad Gitas in the book marathon, right? Which is a decent amount, I guess. So they also do many Rath Yatras. I go to a couple usually. So we went to Chandigarh. And he gets creative. Sometimes they had a truck with a rock band chanting Hare Krishna, because in India, you know, they kind of like these things. And then he told me, yes, you get up there. I go, you know, I mean, get up there. Yes, you go up there. So he had me up there with the band, and wow, people were really into it. Old ladies were like, you know, these old Indian grandmothers. Serious, they were jumping around. They liked it. Yeah. So, somehow or other, Rath Yatra is an opportunity to reach out to many people. And of course, this year, our Rath Yatra is more special than ever, because this year there is the new temple connected to it. So this year we are not just attracting all those people, but we have a purpose also in trying to enter into an ongoing relationship. And in connecting these people to the temple, to other festivals. So obviously there must be festivals before, like this year Snan Yatra must be something. And there must be follow-up festivals, right, so that we can bring in the crowd, and that we can engage the crowd and capture the crowd and keep the crowd and cultivate the crowd and milk the crowd and make the crowd chant Hare Krishna, and ultimately in this way change the entire Midlands. Yesterday we had our little bhajan session in the in this Belgrave Road place, and I thought, wow, this used to be the place where we had the Midland retreats, or it was called, I think, right? A number of years in a row, and I was there also. And I was remembering that, and I was thinking, this Belgrave place, it just drowns in the new temple, right? It just disappears completely, that tiny little... In the past, it looked kind of decent to me, you know, but after having seen the new place, I go, it's a little clubhouse, you know? So it is, I don't know what Krishna wants. I just wonder, why Lester? Eh? Why did he give it to you? I don't know. Why didn't he give it to me in Amsterdam or something like that? We're also having a new temple, but it's a bit smaller than your place, must say. So, yeah, it's quite amazing. Why did he give it? I don't know. You probably don't know either. You're probably also thinking like, thanks Krishna. That's really nice of you, but we never wrote that on our birthday wish list, you know. But anyway, you got it. Lucky you. Got this amazing opportunity to get creative, to do far out things. That's India. The spirit of India is when you do it big. And they do, they do it big, you know. I mean, when there's a parade, elephants come out and everything is there, right? Yes. So this invites to do things big, and yet, you know, money is also an issue, so one has to be creative to somehow or other bring it alive, not only with external things, not only with firecrackers and elephants, but it must be alive and vibrating with devotional activity that people can see. Oh yes, a lot of variety. No longer can it just be the same, you know. And it is going to be Sunday, and on Sunday we are having the satsang. To satsang ho jayega. Ji. Bahut bariya. To better aayenge. पंडित जी कुछ कथा करवा देंगे.
संसार सागर में जन्म मृत्यु चल रहा है. हाँ
ऐसा तो है. So like that we can now we have to think of ways to bring Krishna to the people and people to Krishna. Yes. There have to be plays. Prabhupada said plays about Krishna cannot be performed by professional actors. Plays about Krishna must be performed by those who are practicing devotees. They must do it. They will play the wrestlers in the match. Some of them. And others, you know, will play Krishna and Balaram, and some will even play the elephant. Why not? Yeah. Somehow or other, we can look for some candidates. So, somehow or other, I actually have a disciple in South Africa who is making props for plays, and he's made a life-size elephant, which has only one man inside, and it has like it has many arrangements. Like there are wires attached to his legs. There are steering arrangements with buttons, so the ears can flap, the trunk can move, even the tail moves, and all the legs are moving. And yeah, He's going now to the Polish tour with the elephant because Indrajumna Maharaj saw it and said, I want that elephant for my shoe. And I tell you, Lester, you want that elephant for Lester. So you want that elephant. I'll tell you his name, and I'll tell him that you want to talk to him about that elephant.
Because we have to think of ways to preach. We have to be creative. Because somehow or other, it seems that that's what Lord Jagannath wants. He wants unlimited service. And he wants from us unlimited service. So by this summer, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be an extraordinary Rath Yatra. I'm sure that it will be. I can't come. It's bad. But you've put it again on the same date as the Radhadesh summer festival, and all the Dutch people will come there, and I'm the only Dutch-speaking sannyasi. So if you get a sannyasi who can speak Dutch, I'll come here. That's what it takes, you know. Yeah. So, but somehow or other, in this way, we must. In Krishna consciousness, it's not only the devotees who are worshipping Krishna. It's not only about the devotees trying to become Krishna conscious. No. It is also about Krishna. Krishna himself who is doing things. Yeah. It's not only that we are the ones who are worshipping Krishna and then hope to get some blessings from Krishna. No. Krishna himself also takes initiatives. And it's very clear that Krishna took some initiatives here in Leicester. And, yeah, those initiatives, I don't know what they will bring. The future will tell. But it is a great opportunity for all of us to make advancement, to render service. So that's really what is required. At a time like that, when so much service is required, at a time like that, we have to come together and we have to rise above the neophyte platform. That is not so easy. We have to become at least Madhyam Adhikari. The Madhyam Adhikari is very careful to behave according to the scripture. The Madhyam Adhikaris, therefore, they have very deep personal relationships. We hear about the six loving exchanges. We hear the Dati Prati Grinati, Guyam Akiti Prichati, Bhunte Bhutayati Chaiva Satpidam Pitilakshanam. There are six loving exchanges between devotees. Giving in charity, receiving in charity, revealing the mind in confidence, and also respecting others as this is going on, so reciprocation. And finally, bhunte bhujeti chaiva, exchanges of prasadam. Yes, I was once with a whole group of swamis taking prasadam, and then Giriraj Maharaj said, it is a proven fact that when cows take their food together, they give more milk. So we have to develop this spirit of loving exchanges. That is Madhyamadhikari. That is the mature. If we If we want to serve together, otherwise it's like, you know, I'm not going to serve because this person is always, and I'm not going to serve because that person is there, and if he goes, then I'll come. But, you know, and like that, that's not possible. One has to rise above these things. So it's an opportunity. An opportunity to really become advanced. Become very advanced. Because Madhyamadhikari is advanced. It is said Madhyamadhikari basically means nista, means firmly fixed, firmly dedicated now. It said Krishna has become the priority. Prabhupada said Bhagavati Bhavati Naistiki, 70% purified. 70%. Yeah. You said 7 o'clock, but it's Indian 7 o'clock. I'm rounding it off. But So, we are in this way seeing that Krishna gives us facility to increase our commitment in devotional service. That's how we have to see. So I don't know, there must have been some prayers, you know, or something, or maybe just his causeless mercy. But somehow or other, Krishna has a plan for us to become advanced. So this is very nice. It is actually very nice because that will transform our life. This morning we had also a little discussion, and we were talking about how in the material world everything has to be a different shade of gray or black. That's just what it is. Everyone has just a different shade of gray or black, and if you have too much color, I can't have that. And I gave the example of a brahmachari on the block, and we can't have, you know, forget it, right? I mean, people say, go get a job, right? Go get a job, right? Be normal, be like us, you know. I mean, or they say, get married, right? Yeah. Because you can't be like that, you know, smiling. You should be totally miserable, right? Yeah. This happy look on your face, stop that right now. We don't want that on our block, because he is sort of the living evidence, right? The living evidence of our unhappiness. But if we have a wonderful place where we are hosting people very nicely and make them feel comfortable, where we just, not that we, you know, are lurking behind the pillars of the new temple, and as soon as someone steps in the door, we just jump on him and says, Chen Hare Krishna, you know, give up your sinful life, you meter, you demon, and if you don't surrender right now, and, you know, then, you know. Well, not like that. A little more mellow, a little tact. Welcome, you know. This used to be a very famous bank. Oh, really? Yes. It's even, and so on. Little small talk, little here and there. Yes, come. Yeah, we'll show you around. This is where now it's a temple. Yes. Why not? And little by little, people come in through one of the many doors. So this is very, very encouraging, and what more can I say? Not much, because the time's up. So I'll leave it at this, but I do give you a chance to ask a question or two, if you like to.
Maharaj, is there a specific reference about Lord Jagannath being the
It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, yeah, it's mentioned there. I mean, if you ask me the exact number,
I cannot come up with it, but it is. I'd have to look for you. But it is mentioned there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was your first impression when you come across the poem of Lord Jagannath?
What was my first impression of Lord Jagannath? I like Lord Jagannath. Yeah. But I have a bad memory, so when was the first time I saw Lord Jagannath? I don't have a picture, a thing in my mind, this was the first time I saw him. I'd have to really dig and dig, you know, when was the first time I saw Lord Jagannath? I must have done, by now, a few hundred Ratiyatras at least. I'm somewhere between 200 and 300 Ratiyatras, I think. So that's a lot. Which one was the first one? I guess in Amsterdam. Was it? I don't remember. But yeah, why not? I like Jagannath. And I like that whole mood around Jagannath of just that he just can engage unlimited people. And I also like it that new people out of nowhere suddenly get really enthused about Ratiyatra. Really enthused about Ratiyatra. So yeah, Jagannath's special. And what a brilliant thing, a festival where there's a monster chariot and you have to pull it. So it's like devotional service right there. Yeah, so very nice, wonderful festival. They don't have anything like that, you know. They have floats, but there's always a car inside, you know what I mean. And I am from an area in the Netherlands where there's lots of flowers. It's like the famous flower growing area. So we have this flower parade, you know. It's endless flowers. So all these floats, flower floats, right? Hundreds of them. And you stand there at the side of the road, and it's like, wow, you know, wow. Goes past the next one, wow. And after about 1 hour, it's like, wow. But Ratiyatra, you have to pull the float, so it gets more and more exciting. Interactive, yeah, very modern. All right, I will end, and then I don't know what else is going to happen now, but I'm sure there's an arati, and I'm sure there's a kirtan, and I'm not doing it. I'm on strike, just that you know. So somebody younger and stronger, with more energy, I've done it, you know, this weekend now. I'm going to sit nicely on a chair and relax and behave like my age. So I'm sure you can manage it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.